Before we get into this episode, I wanted to first apologize for there not being an episode last week. I felt like it was really important with everything going on in the world for me to not put out content during the entire week, to leave room for other voices to be heard. And I went on Instagram and I shared a few podcast recommendations with you guys to get you through that. But at the beginning of this episode, you're going to hear me talk about how excited I was for them to be close together, because this was made ahead of time. But I really appreciate you guys being understanding and supporting that decision that I made. And that's that. What's your secret? Welcome back to another week of Beyond the Secret. My name is Ace Fanning, and I am back this week with part two. I really hated dividing this episode up because I wanted everyone to hear every part of it. And I feared that someone who heard part one may never hear part two. But in the end, I feel like this was the best way to do it. So I'm glad you are here. And if for some reason you have not yet listened to part one, I would really advise you to go back and listen to this story from the beginning. When I finished this interview, I sent it to Stephanie Smith. She is a licensed counselor and the owner of Discreet Online Counseling. She's been on the show before, and I wanted her to hear everything first, and then I asked her to come on and talk about anything we potentially missed in the interview. Like, what do people still need to hear? What would be beneficial for people to hear? And that is what the second half of this episode is. But before we begin, I want to remind anyone listening that this is a very raw and emotional look at eating disorders. And if you are not in a place mentally where you can hear that right now, I suggest not continuing. And if you yourself are struggling with an eating disorder and you do not know where to begin to look for help, you can contact the National Eating Disorders Association at nationaleatingdisorders.org, or you can call their helpline at 1-800-931-2237. I need to warn you that I am not a mental health professional. This is not a show designed for professional help. I have absolutely no certifications. I am just a stranger who finds themselves in very emotional conversations with people. And if you have come here seeking professional advice, this is not the place. And I urge you to please seek out professional help. This week's secret, my eating disorder, part two. This is where I feel like it's really important to just stress the fact that it's important. It is the most important thing that you have to get this. You have to get yourself to a healthier and more positive mindset, and you have to do the work that is required. And I don't know. I'm not a professional. I don't know what that work is to get to a place where you are positive, so that when and if you decide to have kids, this isn't something that you pass on, so that in 20, 30 years, there's not another girl sitting here talking to someone about how you made them feel.
Yeah. Right. Well, I actually found out on December 1st that I was pregnant, and I ended up miscarrying. And it was super stressful, and it was very scary. And everyone was focused on, oh my God, what are you going to do? You're in nursing school. You still have a little bit to go. Like, you're not in that place financially. What are you going to do? And I would be lying if I said I didn't care about any of those things. The only thing I was focused on was, and I wrote in a journal, how to be a good mom. What to say to my kid. And everyone else was focused on the other stuff, but I was like, I have promised to myself that I will never, ever treat my kids, my daughter, my son. I will never talk to them. I will never do any of the things that my mom did to me to them. So while everyone else was stressing about finances and how are you going to, you know, with in school and your boyfriend, like he's a firefighter, like he's not home all the time. While everyone was worried about that, I was worried about how am I going to be a good mom for this child? Because I am so screwed up in my head.
Let me tell you something though, is you have an awareness about all of this. You have an awareness about your mom and how she made you feel. You have an awareness now that when you say those things to your boyfriend, you say them, but you feel bad about it. And I think that is the biggest thing when anyone wants to try to make a change or be different, is you have the remorse. And there are so many people out there, and I don't want to speak for your mom, but it doesn't really feel like the remorse is there because she can't apologize for it. And the fact that you have that, that sets you apart from her. That already tells me you're not going to be like her. Now, it doesn't mean that you're healed and that you're ready to go, ready to rock and roll, and you're not going to make a lot of the same mistakes, but you're so far ahead of where she's at. And I think that you can definitely be the type of mom that you want to be.
I hope. I think we all want to be good parents at the end of the day. I mean, not everyone is a good parent, but I think that's like our biggest goal when you do become pregnant, or you find out that your wife, your girlfriend, your fiance is pregnant. Like, you just want to be able to provide for that kid as best as you can and to be a good parent for them. I think the one thing that I wish someone told me when I was in the midst of my starvation and passing out and fainting and having my body tell me that I was hungry, I wish someone would have just sat me down and said, what can I do for you to make you see the things that I see in you? I wish someone would have recognized that I wasn't doing it for myself. I was doing it for the attention. I was doing it for all the wrong reasons. And I ended up sick because of it. I ended up with a lot of medical issues because of it. My esophagus is eroded. I wish people could just understand that we don't wake up one day and just want to have an eating disorder. And I wish this society could understand that a little bit more and could be there for us a little bit more and just remind us that, like, we're not doing it for the right reasons. Like, there's just so many underlying issues that need to be solved. Like on your Instagram the other day, it was like, obesity is a choice. No, it's not. Is being a schizophrenic a choice? No. Is having any medical issue a choice? Absolutely not. Being obese, having an eating disorder, having other medical disorders, diagnoses, whatever you want to call them, more often than not, they're secondary to something. And in my case, my eating disorder was and still is secondary to mental health. And I wish there wasn't such a stigma on mental health and the discussion of mental health being so taboo, because I think our world would be a lot better and there wouldn't be so many people suffering like there are today. Just wish the world would be a more accepting place.
I want to say one more thing to you before we end all of this. And I just want you to take it with you. I want you to keep it in your mind and maybe it'll be helpful. But again, I'm not a professional. I have no idea what the fuck I'm saying. I'm just speaking from my heart. But the next time that you feel negatively towards yourself about your weight or about your body or about food, and you have this internal dialogue with yourself of, no, you don't need that. No, you've had too much today. No, you're fat. Whatever that conversation is, I want you to imagine taking that conversation inside your head and speaking it out loud to that same little girl who sat there in her room trying to keep the door shut from her mom and say that to that girl, because that is who you are. And that is the girl who needs love.
I agree. I would never say that stuff to myself as that little girl, but I have no issue saying it today. I've never thought of it or put it into a perspective like that. Like, you were saying all that stuff and I was like, okay, like, but then once you said, like, go and say it back to that little girl. I just broke down.
We are all really, really hard on ourselves on a daily basis. We think that there's more money to be made, that we're not trying hard enough, that we're not doing enough. And we forget that, like, deep down in our core, we are still these little kids. We're adults. We have no idea what the hell we're doing. We are constantly learning and we are always those same people. And I think that it's important that we try our best. And it's not easy. I'm a total fucking hypocrite sitting here telling you this, but it is important that we try to remember that that little child is still within us. And we want to protect that child. We want to love that child. We want to be the person for that child that we never had. But yet,
yeah,
we talk so horribly to ourselves.
We do. I do. I do every day. That's my biggest downfall. I've just never put it in that perspective. Like, that fucked me up. Because I wish I hadn't. You know, my mom would tell me I was pretty here and there, but like, I also had her saying some really fucked up stuff to me. I also wish social media was better and that our world wasn't so post yourself only in your good moments. Like, social media fucks people up as well.
And I am somebody, I always, I feel like my job is a really, really difficult one because, yes, I try to be as real and as authentic as I can on my stories and in the things that I write. But I also am fully aware that I am posting very beautiful people and very beautiful girls and in their absolute best light. And I'm editing them and I'm taking away their acne and I'm posing them so they look their absolute best. And I contribute to that mentality. And it is a huge dilemma I have because for me, I work with these people and I think I want them to feel their absolute best because I know that you don't feel like this all the time. And to me, I think, you know, I'm giving this person a win. I had someone recently who had very, very bad cystic acne, and it took a lot of work on our end in post-processing to fix that. And I could have just left it and posted it as is, but I know what it's like to struggle with bad skin. And I want to give this girl these pictures where she just feels amazing. And she's just felt like she's never gotten to feel before. But I also know that when I post that, there is someone else looking at that thinking, that's not what my skin looks like. That's not, you know, that girl is skinnier than I am. And it is a fucking thing that I struggle with.
Completely. My latest thing is going out into public. And first of all, I don't like going to meet my boyfriend's friends because I'm afraid that he'll be embarrassed that I'm fat. And he's always like, quit, like, just stop. But I love comparing myself to people. Like, we'll be at the grocery store and I'll see someone and I'll turn to my boyfriend and I'll say, am I as fat as them? Like, do I look like that? And then I'll come home and I won't eat because I'm like, oh my God, I probably look like them. He's just not telling me the truth. And then dinner comes around and he's like, hey, are we going to make that dinner? I'm like, I'm just not hungry. He's like, you need to eat. I'm like, I'm just not hungry. I had a lunch. Like, I'm just not hungry. Eating disorders and body image, it's not just like a one time, you know, once every couple of days that you think about it. For me, it's every day. It's laying down and how much room am I taking up on the bed? If I were skinnier, if I just starved myself for 3 months, you know, and I lost like a lot of weight, I wouldn't be taking up so much room on the bed. I'd be able to wear like all the cute clothes that are in my closet that I currently can't wear.
But let me ask you this. And yeah, I'm just going to interrupt you because I think that it's important that I say this is you are finding your worth in your physical appearance, but I know that's not all you are. You just fucking talked to me during this entire interview and you were so incredibly well-spoken. And I don't have a lot to go off of because I don't know you. But in just that moment, I was like, wow, this girl can tell a story. She can, I don't think you said ever once. It was so incredibly, I've never talked to anybody in an interview who was able to speak so fluidly and not, and be so incredibly relatable. And that is one thing that because I don't know you, that I can say, hey, like, this is something you're really great at. You know that there's more to you than just how much room you take up on the bed or what clothes that you can wear in the closet. There is so much more to you, and you have to start recognizing those things. But the problem is, for so long, you've only ever found your self-worth has lived and died in your size. And that's really, it is so one-dimensional, and that's not you. You have so many things that you told me during this, you have more than one degree. Bitch, my dumbass has one degree, and it ain't even great. Like, you know, you're going to nursing school. There are things about you that you need to recognize, and you look at other people. You don't just see them for their size. I'm fat, and you follow me and you listen to my podcast and you wanted to talk to me today. But my size did not affect you. And you need to stop putting those standards on yourself.
I think it's just a lot easier said than done. And it just, it's going to take time.
And oh, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, like I have to some extent come afar. No, I can't even say that because I feel like every day I regress a little bit more, but it's so hard to think about the internal to me when all I've ever heard about my entire life was the external. Does that make sense?
It does. It's like, it's a narrative that you have slipped into of believing that this is the only worth that you have. It is the only thing that you are being seen for.
Yeah, that's it. Like that's literally it. Like a lot of my friends and like my boyfriend and my family as well, they're like, you're a freaking goofball. But I'm like, yeah, I'm like a fat goofball. My boyfriend especially is like, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's like, that's just all I know. And it's so sad to like sit here and talk about that. But like, it's true. Like I just focus on my outward appearance. But there is so much more to me. You're right. There is. I mean, I am such a giver. I will give you the shirt off of my back. I'm a great cook. I am an incredible girlfriend. I give so much more than just like my outward appearance, but I just need to work on that because I don't see it. I don't think of that stuff. I've never had to think of that stuff. I've always just had to think of making sure that my mom, that my friends, that my family, that my boyfriend, I just needed to make sure that I looked pleasing to the eye. I feel like this has been just like a counseling session and I am not mad about it at all because I've taken so much from this.
I just, the thing, like when you're going through the list of things that you are, I'm like, you're also a very forgiving and loving person because at the very beginning of our talk, you said, I don't want you to think that my mom is bad because she's so great and she's my hero. And I wouldn't be able to say that. I'm not like, I hold a grudge. I'm a little bitch. Like I am all of these things. And somehow somebody has done all these things to you. And yet you're still able to say, this woman is my hero. Like that takes somebody who really has a genuine heart and cares and feels. And in today's day and age, that is a trait that nobody has. Everybody's a fucking monster. Everybody just cares about themselves, and know that about yourself. Give yourself more credit because I feel like you give yourself none.
Which is true. I think a lot of it too, Ace, comes down to the fact that when it comes to forgiveness and, for instance, classmates will text me for, you know, like, what'd you do on this? And I'll just send it to them. I just want to feel accepted. And for so long, I didn't. So if that means forgiving you and not having a grudge and just moving forward, and I think a lot of it just comes from the fact that as a little girl, I just wanted to fit in. And I'll do just about anything to fit in. Like, anything to fit in.
Give us some insight into eating disorders from your standpoint.
So from a psychological standpoint, eating disorders are pretty complex. They develop for a number of different reasons. There's not like a one size fits all, you know, this is why people have an eating disorder. It's really complex, and there's a number of reasons why people do. A lot of it, and again, not all the time, but a lot of it has to do with control, like controlling your environment, controlling what you're able to eat. Like, that's one small way that we can control our environment and ourselves. But also, it kind of comes from a place of being unhealthy, like having a thought pattern too of, it's okay. I use quotes when I say okay, because it's not okay, and they know it's not okay, but almost like they tell themselves a story of what makes it okay to be unhealthy, and they almost like trick themselves that it's not unhealthy in some ways. It's like a weird mental battle in that way of like, well, I am healthy. I'm getting skinnier, or I'm losing weight, or, you know, I'm restricting what I eat. But at the same time, they know it's not healthy. It's a very skewed view of what health looks like.
An eating disorder, I feel like, to me, is the same as being a drug addict or an alcoholic. But for some reason, eating disorders have this more glamorous side to them from society, because we look at like Hollywood and we're like, oh, I mean, probably a lot of people in Hollywood have a very, if they don't have an eating disorder, they probably have a very unhealthy relationship with food.
Yeah, for sure. And I, even for just regular people like you and me and anybody listening, relationship with food is tricky, and it's developed in very interesting ways. Like now, you know, you can get food wherever you want. Like you can get fast food. Like there's so many different food options, and having a healthy relationship with food is very hard to do. It's very tricky. There's society pressure, like, oh, I want to look like this person, and like unrealistic expectations of ourselves. And there's also a lot of shame around food too, you know, like, oh, I feel terrible, I should eat better. And that shame can kind of send us in a shame spiral and make us have an unhealthy relationship with food. So having a good relationship with food, I think, is something that so many people struggle with. And there are a lot of eating disorders out there, but just in general, even if you don't have an eating disorder, relationship with food is very hard.
I've heard it said before that to treat an eating disorder, you can't just treat the eating disorder. Like, that's not necessarily the big problem. There's usually underlying issues that drive someone to this point. It's not just, oh, I want to be skinnier, I want to be thinner. It's, there's serious issues behind what leads someone to this point.
Yes. I'm nodding my head like vigorously. Absolutely. That's the complexity of what kind of drives somebody down that path of an eating disorder. And it's different for everybody. I think, do you want me to talk specifically about this caller?
Yeah.
Just with listening to her story, it seems like with what happened for her was she kind of, it seems like she backed herself into a corner in her mind without even, like, subconsciously. I don't think she even knew she was doing this, but it was like in her mind, she thought, you know, I am this height, this weight, and I'm unhealthy, and people are criticizing me for being unhealthy in this way. So the other option is to be unhealthy in another way. But it's almost like she boxed herself into a corner of, I'm bound to be an unhealthy person. And so she was looking for different ways to be unhealthy. That's a very, that's ingrained in a lot of shame that she was made to think, like, you know, to be ashamed of who she is. And so she looked for avenues. So with the eating disorder, she had mentioned she loved the feeling of being dizzy, of being hungry, watching the scale go down. And she had mentioned too that she was so happy when her uncle had made a comment. And all I wrote down was she was happy her uncle said she looked unhealthy. That's not what her uncle said. Her uncle didn't say, oh, that's amazing, you look so unhealthy, good for you. But that basically is what she was hearing, is he's happy that I'm unhealthy. And at least now he's happy, or people are happy, because I'm their version of unhealthy. And so it was like she feels that her only option to make other people happy is being unhealthy. Like she's doomed to be an unhealthy person. Like she's damaged in some way. Something's wrong with her inherently. And that's the corner that she's backed into. And it's hard to get out of, because it takes a lot of really deep-rooted work to get to a place of, I can be healthy. Like I can be a healthy person. And I can get compliments from other people for being healthy and for thinking about myself in a positive way and for being happy with myself. It's an internal process, but what happened is like, it's very external focused for her too, where, you know, are other people happy with me? Are other people judging me by how I look? Or, you know, and with her mom, that relationship is very complex. And Ace, I think you did a fantastic job hitting the nail on the head with that. Seemed like it's very much like a, I need to make you feel inferior to make myself feel better from her mom's standpoint. And again, like, I'm not saying her mom intentionally did it. That's an unhealthy mindset to think the only way I can feel good about myself is to make other people around me feel inferior. And I do think that's what she was subconsciously doing to her daughter.
When people are like that, why can't they see that themselves? Like, there are so many toxic people. Like, I have this example in my head of someone that I'm thinking of outside of this story. And it's like, they do all of this terrible, shitty stuff, and they're so unable to see that they do this. Like, this mom, how can she not see that what she's doing is tearing her daughter apart? Or do you think that when her and her daughter like have these conversations and she kind of lashes out at her daughter, do you think that's the guilt coming back up? Or do you think that she's really in denial?
I think the way we treat and talk to other people is more than anything, it's not about the other person. What her mother said to her had nothing to do with her, even though it felt very much like it was about her. And I'm not saying, of course it was hurtful for her to hear that. Of course it was, but it had nothing to do with her. It has everything to do with how that mother views herself. So when we say things that are destructive and are meant to tear somebody else down, it's very much a representative of how we view ourselves, like how we perceive ourselves. Because if you think about it, people who are perfectly confident in who they are, right? Like, I'll just say like Michael Jordan, great basketball player. Do you think he needed to go around criticizing other people and saying like, oh, you're shitty at playing basketball? Of course he didn't. Like, he didn't need to do that. He felt confident, as he should. And when people don't feel good about themselves, when people are very insecure, it shows in the way that they treat other people. And so when I heard some of the things that this mother said and some of the behaviors that this mother had, the first thought is she's a very insecure person and she's taking that out on another person, in this case, her daughter. But I'm sure she does it in other aspects of her life too, because insecure people don't realize that they're taking it out on other people. They only see things from their own lens, from their own perspective. And so because they're insecure, they're taking it out on other people. And this caller, very bravely, I think it was amazing that she was able to share this. She does it too with her partner, right? Like she'll say, do you really need that? Do you really need that, those chips? That's her own insecurity and her own, the script that she was taught from her mother that she's then projecting out onto other people. And people don't realize that they're doing it. But you remember how I said, like you had asked me once, how do you be a good parent? You know, and you can make it even more general. How do you be a good human being? Well, get yourself right first in your head. Like, take care of yourself. Make sure that you're healthiest, like that you're as healthy as you can be. Because if you're healthy, if you're secure in your own mind, it shows in how you treat other people. It shows in your behavior.
Is an eating disorder considered an addiction?
It's in the same vein of addiction. Yeah. It's compulsive. It's hard to stop. It has a lot of similarities with addiction. Absolutely.
I think for a lot of these situations, like alcoholics, eating disorders, drug addicts, whatever it might be, I don't even know if they ever fully get away from it in their lives. Because I think that if you had an eating disorder at one point, it's always going to be in the back of your mind to think about, what am I eating? Even if you're giving it to yourself, even if you're like, okay, I'm going to eat this and it's going to be fine. That's not a normal dialogue that everyone has.
Yeah, absolutely. It changes you, but it doesn't have to. Yes, it's gonna, you're always going to have that in your life as far as relationship with food. Your relationship with food is always, you know, it's been a struggle before and it could come up again for you years to come. It's something to kind of be aware of, just like with alcohol addiction. being around alcohol some days might trigger you in some ways. But one thing I want to really be mindful of too is that doesn't make you a quote unquote damaged person. That can actually make you a resilient person. That can, like, those tough parts of your life, the things that you've worked through and maybe are still working through and are trying to overcome, doesn't have to be a thorn in your side. You know, it doesn't have to be a part of you to be ashamed of. I think you should be proud of the resilience. Yeah. You might have to struggle with food sometimes. Sometimes you might, it really might get in your head. Look at how strong you are becoming as a result. And not all the time. You're not going to always have strong days, but the fight that you have with food or whatever the problem that it is that you're struggling with in your life has the ability to make you that much stronger as a result. If you let it, you know, if you let it, it can make you that much stronger. Not that I'm wishing for anybody to go through anything bad in their life, but what it really amounts to is what we do with those challenges that life throws at us and how we jump back from it. You know, that's what the important part is.
How should we approach somebody who is in recovery and who is doing the work to try and get better? Because, you know, like when someone is trying to get over alcohol, like an addict, we don't say to them like, wow, mm-hmm. it's really amazing that you're not drinking today. And like, I don't want to say to somebody who has an eating disorder, like, oh, wow, looks like you're putting the pounds back on. Like, that's a terrible thing to say. Like, how are we supposed to approach them, to encourage them that we see what they're doing without making it about their physical body?
That's a great question. And, you know, an interesting part about an eating disorder versus like another type of addiction, like alcohol addiction. Alcohol addiction, what do you do to treat that? You abstain. You don't ever drink. Like, you know, there's a mindset of you don't drink alcohol because you don't need to drink alcohol, right? Like, you don't need that to survive. You need to eat to survive. So with eating disorders, like, it's not the same thing. Like, you have a bad relationship with food. And it's learning to have a good relationship with food because you do need food. So I just wanted to point that out. Like, that's what makes treating eating disorders very tricky. Treating alcohol addiction is also tricky, but eating disorder has that specific component of it too. But I think one thing to keep in mind with somebody who has an eating disorder, but also just in general, this is a good practice for anybody, is to encourage health, but also encourage like confidence and positivity and like positive self-talk. And when somebody says something positive about themselves, saying like, that makes me feel good to hear you say kind things to yourself, or that makes me feel good to see you treating your body in a nice way, or whatever that might be. But let me give you an example. So like, all too often, just in general, people joke about themselves in a very self-deprecating way, like saying like, oh, I'm so fat, I ate 3 cupcakes today. And I'm not saying like, I get it. Sometimes it's just meant to be a joke. And the way another person responds to it, like if they say like, oh, me too, I'm so fat too, I feel like a pig, I'm just laying on my couch doing nothing right now. We need to be really careful on how we respond to those situations, especially with somebody who has an eating disorder. When you hear them say something that's really abusive about themselves, being careful on how you respond to that and how you encourage that, inadvertently encouraging it. You know, because I get it. Sometimes it can be funny. Sometimes it's meant to be lighthearted and like, oh, I feel so fat today. And I get that piece of it, but we need to be careful in how we respond to that, because we could be encouraging like self-deprecation, which isn't a good thing. You know, like if somebody on the street was to say something terrible and abusive about somebody else, that wouldn't be okay, right? You'd want to defend them. Like, don't call her fat. Don't call her a pig. That's really rude. But when we say it about ourselves, somehow it's okay. Somehow we justify it in our own minds, like, oh, you know, they're just saying it about themselves. That's not okay either. And so being able to say, don't talk about yourself like that. Like, that's not okay. That makes me uncomfortable to hear that. More so than just saying like, you're not fat, stop it. Don't say you're fat. Come on, you're not fat. Going a little deeper and saying, I don't like it when you talk bad about yourself. That's really uncomfortable for me to hear that. I feel like that can be a really powerful approach. I think being careful how we compliment other people, just being mindful of it, just having it like on your radar somewhere, you know, like I'm really careful not to compliment somebody like, look how skinny you look today. It's more like you look really, when you walked in, you looked really confident. That made me smile. Like that was really nice to see that. Like you seem really confident today. Or you have this huge smile on your face and it's making me smile. Like it makes me feel happy when I see you happy. Like those kind of compliments are good compliments, you know, like those, I think those are the powerful ones of talking about, like the emotion, like the healthy emotion that you see from other people.
Not saying, wow, you look so sickly today.
Yeah. Well, because that's like her uncle, right? That's what he was kind of saying. Like, he was like, look at how skinny you are. Whoa, you've lost so much weight. And people do that all the time. Like, not meaning to, but they're encouraging eating disorders, you know, like that's what you're doing. And I mean, don't get me wrong, like 99% of the time, people don't even realize that's what they're doing, you know, and that's okay. But now, like, now they know, now it's just something to be thinking about. And just because you see somebody who's lost a bunch of weight, it doesn't mean that they definitely have an eating disorder. But even with those people, I would be really mindful to not compliment like, whoa, you've lost so much weight, you look really skinny. It's more like, you know, if you notice a positive change in them, like you seem healthier, you seem more confident, or you could even ask them about it. Like, I've noticed you've lost some weight. Have you lost weight? What's been happening there? Or tell me about your story a little bit in a curious way. And also like with those people, but just people in general, being able to notice, like, how are they talking about themselves? How do they seem to be feeling? Are they being confident? Are they taking good care of themselves? You know, are they, if somebody chooses to eat healthy food, is it like, oh, is that to nourish your body? Or is that because you hate yourself? And you might not want to always ask somebody that, but that's advice I always give to people is if they're going on a diet or if they're exercising, do it because you love yourself and you're wanting to take care of your body, not because you hate yourself or to punish your body, because that's not ever going to work. If you work out, if you eat well, good for you. Is it because it makes you truly feel good? Is it because that's something that makes you feel healthy and you want to take care of your body because you love yourself?
I always tell Caitlin, I'm like, I don't have that filter in my body where it says like, oh, you know what? I already ate something today. I'm not going to eat this. I always just think, fuck yeah, I want that. I'm going to eat it.
Yeah. Oh. You know, when it comes to taking care of yourself, it looks different for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, I try to be a really healthy person, but I ate a donut before a call today. You know, if you see something and you're like, hey, this tastes good, I'm going to eat it. And it might make you feel terrible later. It's like, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that donut. But I think that's something to be mindful of is like, oh, that didn't feel very good for my body. Not in a shame-based way, but just in a, oh, but it felt really, like it tasted really good at the moment, but now my body doesn't feel that good. You know, like just being mindful of that stuff, but not in a shame-based way. I don't like shame eating. I don't think that that's a good way to be, you know, that's not healthy.
Yeah. I also think too, people always try and associate skinny people with happy people. And I'm like, I have been very skinny in my life. And that was when I was the most miserable. And
yeah,
I'm 1,000 times happier now and I'm fat. Like, I just need to find, you know, a balance at some point. But for now, I'm like, I'd rather be fat and happy than skinny and miserable. And
yep.
But we associate because, oh, you're beautiful, you're skinny, it's so great. We associate it with like, oh, you must just be so happy. And it's like, no.
Exactly. Exactly. So when you see somebody who's lost a ton of weight, you need to be kind of careful, like how you address it or if you even do address it, you know, because who knows why they've lost a ton of weight. It could be because they have cancer, you know, like my grandpa, he lost a ton of weight and people are like, well, you lost a ton of weight. He's like, yeah, I got stage 4 cancer. That'll do it.
Oh God. That's,
you know, I know, right? So, I mean, yeah, you never know. You never know why somebody looks that way, or if they've gained a ton of weight, why they've gained a ton of weight or whatever it is, you know, it's just, you never know what another person's going through. It's so cheesy to say it, but it's true.
Well, that's the whole point of the podcast, that we can start to exactly know what people are going through.
Exactly. Freaking empathy, man. Like, that's what you gotta do. Like, empathy. You never know what somebody else is going through.
With this situation, I think for a lot of people, they struggle with boundaries. I think that in this story, she struggles with boundaries between herself and her mom. What advice would you give to somebody about trying to set boundaries, especially when they are, when it's with someone who is very toxic in your life?
Yeah, that's hard. I was really proud when I heard her say that she had set a boundary with her mom saying, I don't want to talk about food. I don't want to talk about my weight with you. And that's good. And that takes self-awareness of like, we can't have that discussion. So it's about like knowing what boundary you might need from another person and then being able to tell them that that's like, this is what I'm wanting from you. This is what I'm needing from you is we can't talk about food or we can't talk about my weight. People on the receiving end of boundaries aren't always going to like them, you know? And I'm not saying like, you can negotiate boundaries, I think a little bit too, like not necessarily in this example, but if you want to set a boundary with a toxic person, and a lot of times toxic people don't like boundaries. And so they're going to be very offended by your boundary. They're going to push back on it. And you can have that discussion with them about it. But at the end of the day, if it's causing psychological damage to you, they're continually crossing the boundary or not respecting the boundary, then the next step is, what is the consequence? Like, what are you going to do to protect yourself from that person? You know, maybe keep them at a distance, maybe feeling comfortable to say, okay, if you bring up my weight, I'm going to say, hey, remember, we had this agreement, or I had set this boundary that you can't talk about my weight. And seeing if they respond to that redirection, you know, if they get upset and say, well, I'm going to talk about it, you can't tell me what to do or whatever it is, then being able to say, okay, you know what, I do need to leave this conversation. Like, I'm going to have to separate myself or remove myself from you at the moment. So it's knowing what your boundary is, being able to communicate with the other person and maybe dive into them. If they have feelings about what the boundary is, talk to them about it. Okay, what is concerning about not talking about my weight? Like, what's harmful to you about not talking about my weight? Like, being able to have that conversation with them. But then at the end of the day, if it's going to cause damage to you, if they're not respecting your boundaries or don't agree with them or are just going to blow over them, you have to figure out what the consequence might look like. Like, what does that look like for you? What do you need? Do you need to step back? Do you need to walk away from that relationship at that moment? You know, I'm not saying cut the person off completely, although sometimes that can be an option too, but just realistically, what does that look like for you? Like, what will be the consequence if that person crosses that boundary or continues to do that?
I'm curious. So the way that I was listening to it, what I was kind of getting out of everything that I was hearing was that, to me, her mom sounds like a fucking bully, and bullies like to kind of see you break down. And that, and I'm kind of referring to that story that she had told about when she was younger and her mom was bugging her and she went in her room and was trying to keep the door shut or whatever. And then she just lashed out at her. I was like, ugh. But how does somebody, when dealing with somebody who, in my opinion, is a bully, how do we keep our cool so that we don't lose it, so that they don't get to escalate and then do shit like that?
Yeah, that's a hard question, because in some instances, like, it's okay to lose your cool. Like, when her mom said those things, of course she's going to have an emotional response to it and break down or lose her cool in that moment. But I think, like, okay, this is really hard. This is really, really hard to do. But I think one thing to keep in mind is what I said with, it's not about her. If somebody is spewing hatred towards you and saying these terrible, hurtful things about you, they're not telling you anything about yourself. They're telling you everything about them. So I think, like, sometimes being able to redirect it in that way and say, this isn't about me, this is about you. People who are trying to come from a place of like care, like genuine care, like constructive criticism, like the healthy kind of criticism, they don't talk like that. They don't call names. They don't speak to you in that manner. And so when somebody does do that, it has nothing to do with you. That's hard, because it literally feels like it's about her. She's talking about her. She's talking about her weight, but it has nothing to do with her. So I think that process, that cognitive shift, can be helpful, because it kind of blocks, like, it's their problem and it's not going to become my problem. So having that barrier, which like I said, is really hard to do, that can be helpful. But I think bullies too, they thrive on passivity, you know, like being passive and just taking it. And so I think being able to stand up and say, that's completely inappropriate. And I'm not going to be talked to like that. She was a child at that time. So that's a lot harder to do. Now that she's an adult, I think she can push back on her and say, I'm not going, and it sounds like she does, I'm not going to be talked to in that manner. I'm not sure what is happening with you that's making you call me names, but I hope you can feel better and I'm going to leave, you know? And I think it's just giving that problem back to the person who holds the problem. In this case, it's her mother, right? That her mother holds that problem. Whatever is making her mother call her names is her mother's problem. She can choose to take her mother's problem as her own, or she can choose to leave the problem with the person who holds the problem, if that makes sense. You know, like you don't have to, if somebody's trying to project their problem and their own insecurity onto you, you can make a choice of whether you accept that and take it with you. And you can make a choice of, you know what, that's your insecurity. I'm going to just go ahead and leave that right there on the table. And I'm going to walk away and hope that you can manage that. But I'm not going to take that because that's not my problem.
I'm curious if there's anything that you would like to say directly to this girl as somebody who is a professional in dealing with things like this.
I would want to tell her, I can already tell from listening to her story that she's already done a tremendous amount of work on herself. So I want her to know that I recognize that she's already done a lot of work on herself. She should be proud of herself for the work that she's done. She said, you know, she is needing more help. She wishes she could get into counseling. And I agree with that. I think that she should. But I also want her to know, don't discredit the work that you've already been doing on yourself. And I think being proud of the healthy steps that she's already taken in her life, I don't want her to lose sight of that, you know, because I know she's still struggling now and that's really hard for her. And she feels a lot of shame for the struggle that she is still going through. What about the things she's doing to be healthy? What about those? Those need to be encouraged too. Those are things that she should be proud of as well. She's not perfect. She still is fighting this. I get that. And I'm not saying like, job is done here, pat on the back, good job. Your job's not done here, but still give yourself a pat on the back because you're making progress and you're making those steps. And even being able to talk with you about it, having an eating disorder is a very private thing that people do in private. They don't want other people to know about it. There's a lot of secrecy. And being able to talk to somebody about it, telling you her story, telling other people her story, is fighting slowly but surely. It's fighting this shame story that she's stuck in. And so hats off to her. Good job. That's the main thing I want her to know is I'm so proud of what she's already been doing to take care of herself. That's awesome.
I think we all do that from time to time where I like what you said about focusing on what you are doing, like focus on what you are doing right and give yourself credit for that. Because I think that when we are doing and anything in life, when we get a job, like, oh, I'm so excited I got the job, but then it's like, oh fuck, I suck at this job or whatever. We're so quick to focus on the negative aspects of ourselves and what we do that I do think it's important that, you know, we try to celebrate any of the wins that come with it.
Exactly. Because again, she's backed herself into a corner in some ways, like a psychological corner, which I know she's trying to break free from. And I can see the effort that she's doing there, but it's almost like, well, when are you going to feel proud of yourself when you've not thrown up or not binged or purged for like a couple years? Okay. Yeah. That is something to be proud of. Why can't you be proud of yourself right now for taking some kind of first step? Or to already, you know, doing things that are already to make yourself healthier. You know, be proud of who you are right now. Don't say, well, in 2 years, if I've done this and this, then I'll be proud of myself. Yeah, be proud of yourself in 2 or 3 years when you've done those things, but be proud of yourself right this second too. What is something to be proud of right now? And that is kind of part of what I was saying before too, with encouraging the healthy parts of yourself. Instead of, just focusing on the unhealthy parts, being able to recognize, I already have healthy things about me. Right now today, I've already done things that have been healthy for myself. You know, like she talked to you. I think that was very healthy that she did that. She should be proud of that. You know, it's not about, well, but I wasn't perfect with this and this. Yeah, that's something to note also and to work on. But take that time to be proud of yourself for the steps you've taken today.
I like that advice. I want to first thank Stephanie for being here and giving us her professional insight into this topic. If you are interested at all in booking a session with Stephanie, you can find all of her information in the show notes by swiping up on the episode. And if you are on the fence about virtual therapy, I actually booked a session with Stephanie a few months back, and I loved it. As someone who is easily distracted by things in a room, the last time I saw a therapist, I spent most of the time picking apart the decor and wondering why certain choices were made. And what was kind of nice about Stephanie is there was nothing for me to focus on. Like, I just had to focus on the conversation we were having. And I was sobbing and pretty much wailing within the first 30 seconds and just talking out some of the things that I was going through. It was incredibly helpful. Second, I want to thank this woman for sharing such a real account of her story, because I know it wasn't easy to share all of these details, but sharing this story is already making a very big difference. I have received off the top of my head, at least 7 messages from women who have said that listening to this episode, part 1, made them start the process of going to therapy. And it not because they all realized they had eating disorders, but because they all had unresolved issues with their own moms, and they wanted to get on the path to healing some of those old wounds. That is literally the purpose of this podcast. And I take zero credit for any of that. I am simply just a platform for these people to share. It takes so much courage on their end to tell these stories. And I'm so proud of every single person who has opened up and shared their story on the podcast, because you don't know who's going to hear it and who you're going to help. And I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for them, because they are reaching others and very literally changing lives. 7 people reached out. Doesn't mean only 7 people were reached, but 7 people felt the need to send me a message and say, listening to that episode, it brought up a lot of feelings and I think I'm ready to go to therapy. That is huge. We all have things we need to heal from, and taking those first steps, that is the hardest part. Sometimes admitting to yourself that there is a wound that needs healing is very difficult to do. And by this woman sharing her story, she is letting other people know that they're not alone. Thank you guys for listening. Stay safe, and I will see all of you next week.
Everybody has a secret.